Thank the Lord for His blessings on the Word this morning, His presence with us throughout the day. Desire your prayers that He'd bless His Word one more time as we consider a little subject that He's laid on our hearts. I'd like to talk a little bit about nature. Basically, human nature. We talk about humans having a nature. There's something about us, a disposition that every one of us have. The word nature is derived from the Latin word natura, or the essential qualities or disposition of a human. In ancient times, it literally meant birth. Nature. In the broadest sense that we use the term nature, it is the equivalent of the natural world, the physical world, or the material world. So it's actually in where we live, what is around us, the things that we deal with, the things that we face in our lives. When we say natural, we are speaking of the characteristic of the thing, characteristic that one has. Now, we all have things that are natural to us. Not always do they apply to everyone else, but things that apply to our nature and who we are. For instance, there are some folks that have to deal a lot with fear. It's their nature to fear a lot of things, worry about things. Worrying never did solve anything, but it doesn't keep people with that kind of a nature from worrying about what's going to happen, what's going to transpire on the morrow, how things are going to work out, what's life going to be like. A lot of people like to worry about those kind of things, and that's their nature to do that. It's not so much my nature to worry about things, but like I said, we're all different. We have different natures. Peter had a nature about him. When the Lord would ask the disciples a question, Peter was generally the first to give an answer. He had a nature about him where he was quick to speak. Sometimes, you know, we've all heard the saying, you open your mouth and you insert your foot. We say things sometimes without thinking that maybe we shouldn't say. Peter was very aggressive that way. He said things. Sometimes the Lord even rebuked him, didn't he? He told him he was an offense unto him. Hadn't thought it through. I know people that have a nature to speak very quickly when they hear something or respond to something. Also know people that it's their nature to really stop and consider and think about it for a little bit before they have something to say about it. Neither one of them is going to save or unsave us, but it's our nature. It's who we are. It's how we deal with life. It's how we deal with circumstances. And we all have those human traits or human natures about us. I'd like for us to look at a scripture this afternoon in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 8th and the 9th verse. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now, Peter here is reminding us a little bit about our adversary in this reading. He's telling us that our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. It's his nature to roar. It's his nature to cause trouble. The nature of the devil is a lot of different things. The lion that roareth and walketh about, the lion is a stalker type animal. He stalks his prey, follows along behind him, and he looks for the weakest one in the herd, and he will attack that one and try to have that one for dinner. The lion is a stalker. He's the one that kind of sneaks around and looking for the weak ones. And so the nature of the devil is said here is a lion, and he walketh about to devour. We heard today someone said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said that, didn't he? And that's what the devil is. He wants to destroy each and every one of us. Well, you know, the way the devil comes against us is by the nature that we have. That's what he works with. The human nature of man. The devil's nature is one of fear. He likes to bring fear upon people. He's a fear monger, if you will. And he preys upon us. He tries to scare people. He brings temptation upon people. He brings diseases on people many times. Sometimes the Lord allows those things. And he even did that with Job. And we know that sometimes we all have to deal with things, it seems like, that the Lord allows the enemy to bring our way. But the scripture says, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. 1 Peter 4:12. As though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Folks, if we're saved this afternoon, we're endeavoring to live for the Lord. We're doing this for Jesus' sake. We like to think, well, I'm doing this for my sake. I'm doing it for the sake of my soul. Absolutely. But we're living a life to glorify Christ. We're living a life to lift Him up. And He said, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed. Folks, He's got a purpose, doesn't He? For the trials and the tests and the things that come our way, that His glory will be revealed in us, that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So don't think it strange when the fiery trial was to try you, because everybody goes through those things. Everybody deals with those things. We all have an adversary this afternoon, and he comes at us in so many different ways. And he comes with us and working with our nature or our emotions. I think of the scripture in Zechariah 3:1, where it talks about Joshua standing before the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So we know from that scripture alone that the enemy, the devil, the roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We know that from the scripture alone that he comes to oppose the righteous. He comes to oppose you and I that are endeavoring to live right and to live holy before the Lord. Because it said he stood at Joshua's right hand to resist him. May the Lord help us today to realize we're fighting an enemy. He's a formidable foe. Talking to the brother the other day, and he mentioned the song 302 in our book where it said 10,000 foes arise. Folks, there's all kinds of ways that the enemy has to come against us, but he comes against us working on the nature of who we are. He'll take the weakness part of our personality. He'll take the strengths of our personality, and he'll use everything that he can against us to try to destroy us. We also read in Matthew, the 13th chapter, in verses 38 and 39, Jesus giving us a parable there of how Satan sowed tares among the wheat. He's always busy trying to do work evil, always busy trying to do damage and trying to cause trouble. It's his nature to destroy. We understand that it's his nature. It's his purpose to destroy the soul of a man. He put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, didn't he, to betray him. But there was a nature about Judas, and want us to notice that for a moment. Balaam had the same problem. Judas was a covetous man. He held the bag. He kept the money to pay for the labors, the journeys, and the food and the things that Jesus and the disciples would partake of. And so he had a weakness in him. He was covetous. Things looked enticing to him, things that he desired, things of the world, things of man. Judas had that issue, and the devil knew that. And he put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. We know that the Bible says that he did it for 30 pieces of silver, but folks, it was a lot more than that. It was a lot deeper than that. It wasn't just the 30 pieces of silver. It was a condition of his heart. And the enemy got in there and betrayed Judas himself and took Judas farther, no doubt, than Judas ever wanted to go. But he went that way. He went that far because the enemy stalked him and got a hold of him and put this thing in her heart, in his heart, to betray Jesus. So we know from that point that the devil is an aggressor. He comes against us aggressively to use his wiles and his ways against you and I. We know that he will do whatever he can to bring us down, cause us to try to commit a sin, or cause us to try to do wrong. He's the instigator of sin. He was in the beginning, wasn't he? When he came to Eve, he instigated those things. He instigated disobedience to God's word. What's your nature today? How do you handle the enemy? How do you handle the way that he comes? Jesus said he was a murderer, and he was a liar, and he's the father of lies. So, the scripture here says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, you have an adversary today, we all do. The devil, he's as a roaring lion. Didn't say he was a roaring lion, said he was as a roaring lion. He had the nature of a lion. He's got the nature of those things, and he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he says, for you and I to resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Folks, sometimes we get the idea this never happened to anybody but me, or I'm the only one that's ever had this thing to come my way. It isn't that way at all, is it? Jesus Christ himself, the Bible said, suffered all things for our sake. He understands what you and I go through. He understands what you and I deal with. We don't walk this way alone. Jesus said he would walk hand in hand with us, and he would lead us, and he would guide us, and he'd be with us always, even unto the end. Jesus said he would do that. So let's look at human nature. The natural world, the physical world, the material world. It is the nature of every one of us. It's the nature of man to seek after what we see in our world. Our eyes play a lot in the things that we partake of. We see something, we want it. See something that is desirous to us. We're not all made the same. We don't all have the same desires. But we all see things that we desire, see things that we want. It's the nature of man that we see the things in our world and we seek after those things. And we are driven or governed by what appeals to us. Every one of us are. We're governed by what appeals to us. The things that would satiate our desires or our wants, would satisfy our flesh. You see, the enemy, I've said this many times, and we all know it. The enemy can't work in your heart, but he can work with your flesh. He works with the nature of man. He works with your makeup, your personality. And as I mentioned one time in a Sunday school lesson, the enemy would come along and he can attach a spirit to you and I that is very resemblance of the very nature that you have. He can make it natural to you that you would desire something that you shouldn't have because it fits your nature and it fits your makeup. We got to be on our guard and we got to be careful about those kind of things. But we make our choices by what appeals to us, our nature that we have. So when we say that, then we can say that what we see is very important to us. Now, knowing this, and I believe it to be true, you and I need, if we want to be diligent, and if we want to be careful, he said, because your adversary the devil is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. If we want to be careful and be on our guard, we need to put some things in place against the enemy of our souls. First, we need to recognize what our nature is. We need to recognize where our weaknesses lie. We need to recognize what draws us away, what gets us in trouble, what causes us to do things that we know that we shouldn't do. So we need to recognize that, and then we need to put some restraints in place. We need to restrain ourselves. We need to be able to tell ourselves no once in a while. When the enemy comes along and something is appealing to you and I, and Lord, help us to have the wisdom to look past that and to see the danger that it will cause, to see the trouble that it will cause in our relationship with God. Because there's always something behind what the devil focuses before our eyes. He's always got another motive to bring us to a place that's going to cause us trouble. That's going to give us trouble in our walk with the Lord. So we need to have some personal restraints. That's temperance, the Bible says. Lord, help us to be temperate, the Bible says, in all things. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Temperance is. So may the Lord help us to put some restraints in place, because we have nature. We all have a nature. Then we need to get our priorities prioritized. We need to get things that is most important to us. I can only say for myself, my soul is the most important thing that I have. I've got family, I've got loved ones, I've got a companion, children, all those kind of things, and they're very important to me. But my priority, my number one priority is my soul. It isn't me, but it's my soul. Because I'm just the vessel to get this soul to eternity. And I want to get there safe as I know how to get there. I want it to be safe. I want to be safe in the arms of Jesus. Getting our priorities right. When the enemy presents himself in a way that would draw us somewhere else when we should be here. When the enemy presents something to us that we know has been a weakness of ours in the past, we need to have a priority to know, devil, I cannot do those kind of things. It's not sin, but I cannot do those kind of things because I don't have the restraint that I ought to have to keep myself from letting this thing become a sin that so easily besets me. He told us to lay aside every weight, didn't he? And the sin that so easily beset us. So we need some priorities in our life. We need some safeguards in our life, folks. I think about a precious man in the Bible that the whole book was dedicated to him, and his name was Daniel. I want to say that Daniel is a good example of someone that put safeguards, priorities, restraints upon his life. He wouldn't eat the king's meat, but he ate the pulse, and he ate the things that wasn't from the king's table, and yet God blessed him to flourish. So he had all these things that he placed in his life, the restraints and the priorities. Whenever they came along and they were looking for something that was out of whack in his life, something that they could find to accuse him of, the only thing they could find to accuse him of was his worship to his God, wasn't it? Oh, folks, Lord help me that I could live in a way that's the only thing that they could find to accuse me of. But it was his relationship and his worship to his God. And so I see him as a wonderful example this afternoon of getting his priorities straight, because he had natures too. He was a man. Scripture says a man of like passion as you and I are. We're all just men, women, flesh and blood. And he had his natures about him, things about him, maybe that you and I don't have. But folks, whenever they put the word out that anyone prayed to anyone but the God of Baal, he kept right. He had a prayer life in place, didn't he? That was his safeguard. That was his priority. Every day he went up and he opened the window and he turned face toward Jerusalem and he prayed every day. He had a prayer life in place. May the Lord help you and I as the devil comes around and coming against us in all of our trials and all of our tests, that we'll have something in place where we have a private life with God, where we're praying and where we're reading and where we're meditating, and where we get alone with God in our secret place where we worship. Have a safeguard in place, folks. We need a safeguard. You put them in place. Daniel had that in place. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord loves those who he chastens. He wants every one of us to make it, folks. Sometimes if we don't have those things in place, the priorities that we ought to have, sometimes when we slip, sometimes when we fail, we've all done that, I have anyway, the Lord loves those who he chastens. I've had him come along and give me some pretty good whippings in the past. But I thank him for every one of them, folks, because I'm convinced that he'll do everything he can to help me make it. And I gotta make it. By the grace of God, I wanna make it, folks. I'm so glad of that to this afternoon. I think about another thing to be on your guard about, to put some restraints and to put some safeguards in place, and that's your love for God. Protect your love for God. Don't lose that. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many, Jesus said, would wax cold. Don't lose that love. That's divine love. It's not a family love. It's a divine love for God that's been placed in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And Jesus addressed that over in the second chapter of Revelation when he found the church at Ephesus that had lost their first love. You know the story. We're not going to turn over there to it. They lost their first love. They let their natural affections going out to the things, places that it shouldn't have been. Got a little too close to the world, doing things that the enemy got into and got involved with it. And it cost them their love. It leaked out of their hearts, folks. But the Lord told them, he said, repent and get that first love back again. We don't have to settle for if we messed up, if we made a mistake, well, it's all over. We don't have to settle for that. We have an advocate, the Bible says, of the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we can go back to him and we can say, Lord, I'm sorry. My nature took the advantage of me because of the things that I let my flesh go after, my eyes, the things I let my eyes desire. Lord, I lost the love of God out of my heart and I haven't kept it fervent. I haven't kept my relationship up to date. Haven't been praying like I ought to have been praying. Haven't been reading like I ought to have been reading. Folks, we can come to services on Sunday and God can bless us and he can send forth his word, but it takes more than that for us to hold on and to be faithful and draw close to God. We've all got to do our little homework at home, don't we? Every one of us. Preacher's got to go to the well. We've all got to go to the well. We all need something from God. That's where we get our strength from. That's where we get our understanding. That's where our grace comes from, is from God himself. Put some restraints upon your life. Be willing and able to tell yourself no once in a while. Remember this little foolish little example, but two or three nights ago, I popped some popcorn. You know how that smells when it goes through a house? Wherever you are, all that smell of pop, just fresh popcorn smells so good. My wife's trying to stay away from some things, and I'm sitting there beside her eating this popcorn. And I said, oh, this is good popcorn. It's cheddar. It got cheddar cheese on it. You want some? Well, I'm fighting so hard, trying to restrain myself so hard. She said, let me taste it. And that's all she did. She might have ate two or three kernels and she never ate it. I couldn't entice her to eat. I said, I'll go pop you a bag. She wouldn't do it. I was impressed because it smells good, doesn't it? Somebody's just pops. It smells so good. I said, it's got cheddar cheese on it. Well, let me taste it. Lord, help us today. Now that's not going to cost you anything, but that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Putting restraints on your appetites. And when I say appetites, I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the things of the world. The things that are around us. Putting restraints on those kind of appetites. Getting your priorities. I can't say it too much. You forgive me. Priorities in place. Who comes first? God comes first, doesn't he? My soul comes first. My relationship with God comes first. My children may want to get together and they may want to do this and they may want to do that. But folks, if it's a time when I'm supposed to be in service and worship the Lord, that's where I want to be. I'm not saying that there's not exceptions here. Not saying that at all. But my priority is, and my desire is, and my nature is, I was taught from youth up when I was growing up, when the doors of that chapel's open, we're going to be there, son. And we were there. And we were there. Priorities. What's your nature? You know what your weaknesses are. Every personality has its weaknesses and its strengths. Every one of us. And we're all different. So it's important that we know what our nature is. The nature of our personality. and that we put safeguards there. No. No. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to the Lord in prayer. I got to get away. I got to get away from all this, and I got to go have prayer. And old Daniel, even when he knew it meant the lion's den, he had a prayer life. And he went up there and opened that window, and he prayed. He had them in place, folks. Even under pressure, and we all feel pressure today. We're all pressured in this world. But even under pressure, and the pressure of losing his life, he went up there and he prayed, didn't he? He was thrown in the lion's den, but his God was with him. And his God blessed him. The Lord loves us, folks. But he wants to remind us this afternoon that our love, that to not let our love slip away. Don't let your love and desire for God slip out of your heart for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. You and I, we've gone too far. You and I, folks, we have a responsibility to be an example of Christ. To be the ambassadors of Christ here. Lord, help us. We don't want to bring a reproach on the cause of God. We don't want to let down. When our children get in trouble, they may not be going this way. They may not come to service with you. But when they get in trouble, they'll call you for prayer. I know that from experience, and so do you. They'll call you for prayer. I want to be in a place where I can pray for them. Because they need it, folks. Our children need it. Yes, they do. They need prayer. They need help really bad. I want to be in a place where I can pray for them when they call. That tells me a little something. I believe they've got a little confidence in us, in our life, and how that we're trying. Oh, you don't have to live that way. I believe they got a little confidence in how we're living. I believe they got a little confidence that we can get a hold of God in behalf of their need. And I'm thankful for that this evening. I'd like to look at another scripture in 1 Timothy. Still talking about the nature of man. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. He said, not 4 and 1. I'm sorry. I'm not in 1 Timothy. That's my problem. In 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now here's what happens. I want you to see what happens to the nature of them. It said some shall depart. That tells me that some was in the faith. Some was following the truth. But in the latter times, and folks, these are the latter times. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed, will be listening to doctrines of devils. This roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. But he says, here's what happens next when they do that. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, the devil is busy today seducing you. We know that from reading in Revelations that he will come and he's an accuser of the brethren. He will accuse us even when we're not doing wrong. But if we give heed and we fall away and we get involved in these doctrines and teachings that are not of the Word of God, it says they begin to speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Something happened to the nature of that individual. Something happened to their nature. It's been changed now. He doesn't see things as he once did. Now he's accepting lies, and he begins to take on the nature of the devil, which is lying. The devil is a liar and the father of it, Jesus says. If we don't guard our hearts and guard our actions and keep a pure and a holy intent deep within our souls, folks, and submit to God, keep our hearts submitted and tender to God, the spirits of this world can work in our hearts and we can take on the same lying nature as the devil has and be deceived and not know it. One of the things that has always been concerned to me and others that have shared it with me is being deceived. I don't want to be deceived. Jesus told the disciples, take heed that you not be deceived. But I'm going to say that this roaring lion, as a roaring lion, this adversary can take a man to the point in his nature of seeing things in a different way and not even realizing it. You may find that hard to swallow, but folks, people can see things that they didn't once see or see things that they once did see and not even realize that they made a change. Not even realize it. Blind. The blindness of their hearts. The devil can do those kind of things. Don't ever underestimate your adversary. He's a real adversary. I'd like for us to look at a scripture in 2 Peter. I'm trying to move on instead of spending too much time with the scripture. But you can always go back yourself. 2 Peter, the second chapter. I want to touch something here. The Lord knoweth, verse 9. 2 Peter 2 and 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Isn't that wonderful? We're all tempted. We're all going to be tempted. You maybe go out there and be tempted tomorrow. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to do it. He knows how to protect us and care for us. And He knows how to defend us. But Lord, help us to put those safeguards in place. Those things in place in our walk with the Lord that puts a check on our very nature of who we are. We need to do that for ourselves, for the sake of our souls. And then it says, but chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I've seen in my lifetime, down through the years of my ministry, I've seen those that have come and those that have went. I've seen those that once had a vision and lost it. I've seen those that once preached on the church and taught on the church begin to come and condemn the things the church was standing for. I've seen that, folks. Change the very nature, the very mindset. This devil is as a roaring lion trying to devour every one of us. In the fear of God this afternoon, I wanted to exhort you. Get your safeguards in place. Ask God for mercy, for protection for your soul. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He'll help you. He said, presumptuous are they, self-willed. It causes them to do things and say things that they're no longer aware that it is even wrong to do it. Or say it. Self-willed. That's nature. The nature of self. The nature of man is self. He said, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Why is there such a judgment on that, folks? It's because these people that are doing those things are not only deceived themselves, but their devil is using them to set out to deceive other souls. And there's a great judgment put on that. When someone sets out to deceive other souls, they shall receive their reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Folks, I see this as so serious this afternoon. It says, while they deceiving themselves, while they their own sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Remember when in the 20th chapter of Acts, when Paul said, I leave, and he said, after my going shall grievous wolves come in among you, even of your own selves? It's a dangerous time, I know it is. I would love to stand up here and preach to you just on the love of God, the goodness and greatness of His salvation and the blessings that all heaven has for us. And basically, I'm doing that in a different way this afternoon because of a love for our souls, for your souls, folks. Watch out for that human nature. That human nature is the very thing that could get you in trouble with God. These people here that we're reading about, they have another nature now. The devil has taken over their hearts, and they're not even aware of it, don't even realize it. And when he does that, he can then use that individual any way he wants to use them. Any way he wants to use them. To his will. They can have the best of intentions. They can have the best motives. But now they have a different nature. And they can't see it. They got the devil, the nature of the enemy, don't they? And they can't even see it. That's exactly what we've read here, and what I'm talking about is that's exactly how deception works. It's exactly how people get deceived in the salvation process, in the gospel message. They get deceived. By not keeping their nature in control, by not putting safeguards on their lives, by not humbling themselves and following the Lord in truth. This is exactly how deception works. Any vision, when this process has taken its course, any vision that they might have had has been distorted. Anything that they knew to be right can now be wrong, and they don't even see it. They don't even realize it. I know some of you may think, how's that possible? But it's possible. I've seen it. I've seen it. Let's go back to Peter again, where we started. First chapter, fifth verse. I'm sorry. Fifth chapter, fifth verse. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Folks, I gotta tell you this afternoon, that's our secret to success. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I want to humble my heart before God and say, God, you know my nature. You know the weaknesses that I have. I ask you to come into my heart and in my life, and I ask you to protect me and defend me, and that you will shore up those weaknesses, that I'll put safeguards in place that the enemy can't come along and take me down through my weaknesses, but that I can be strong, as Paul exhorted Timothy to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I tell you what, folks, we will be better to humble ourselves than have God humble us. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We need to understand more fully the value of humbling ourselves. To hear God's voice and to have God's power working in our lives. This is a protection for us from the very nature of the devil himself. Now I want to say, I just have a couple more things I'd like to read to us here. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore. You've got my burden this afternoon. You understand what I've been putting out, I feel. So now I want to encourage you to be therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow God as dear children. I presented to you this morning by the help of the Lord the value of your soul, the value of that temple that you're living in today, the place where God dwells in each and every one of our hearts. Now I want to tell you, be therefore followers of God as dear children, children humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to the will of God and His purpose in our heart and in our life. And He said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You know, I know we all pray differently. I get alone in my secret place of prayer at home. And so many times I say, Lord, I thank you for loving me. First I say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, but I want to thank you for loving me. Because if he hadn't loved me, my love wouldn't have done any good. But he had to love me. And he loved me with all of his heart, folks. And gave his life for you and I. Giving himself, he said, for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I thank the Lord for that this afternoon. I appreciate His love, His goodness and mercies to us. Oh, He's given us the things that pertain unto life and godliness, hasn't us? According to His, the Bible says, Peter said, according to His divine nature. God has a nature too, doesn't He? His nature is love. His nature is mercy. His nature is peace and joy. And righteousness and godliness. God is the exemplary of all holiness and all godliness. Can we read this? We won't have to spend a lot of time on it. But I'd like for us to read this. It's such an encouraging scripture. It's my salvation, your salvation today. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. So I'm over here in Psalms. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. And let's see what he said here. Just read it. We'll read it real quickly. Verse 3. It's Isaiah 35 and 3. This is for us. We all have a human nature. And the Lord understands that. He said, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Do we believe that this afternoon? We don't have anything to fear, do we? If it's our nature to fear, let's ask God to heal us of that nature. He said here, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Folks, he's describing what salvation is to you and I today. The parched ground shall become a pool. All that sinful life, all that things I did down there in the gutter of sin, folks. He's going to take that parched ground and it's going to become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And here is the beauty. Here's the beauty. And a highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Yes, the Bible still says to walk in holiness, doesn't it? The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those the wayfaring man. You know what a wayfaring man is? It's a man on foot. A man walking his journey on foot. That's you and I. Walking our journey through life on foot. It'll be for those of us, the wayfaring men, the fools. People can call us a fool. They can call us anything they want. We may not understand it all. We don't, surely don't know it all. But folks, it says fools shall not err therein. This is the plain of holiness. The highway of holiness here in this life, in this world, for God's people. No lion shall be there. Now is he talking about the lion beast? He's talking about the lion nature, isn't he? There will be nothing like that on this high and holy way. He said here, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. Folks, those nature, the nature that we once had of anger and hatred and unforgiveness, and all, folks, they're not on this highway. Only the redeemed, he said, shall walk there. It won't be for those that are have the lion nature or the ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It won't be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their hearts, heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, folks, the lion, the old lion nature has been laid down. We can lay down and we can worship with the Lamb, can't we? We can come together in the spirit of righteousness, in the spirit of holiness, and the spirit of God, folks, and we can come together, whatever your nature is, was, whatever his nature was, whatever my nature was, we can come together in glory, in the presence of God, and worship him in his spirit, worshiping within us. Oh, the highway will be there. It's there, folks. That's our salvation today, and a way. And it'll be called the way of holiness. I want to say, living for God is a close walk, and I know that. And many will not follow it, folks. Many won't follow it. But it's for those of us, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. But it may be a close walk. And we may find a way narrow and difficult. Didn't he say it was be a straight and a narrow way? What's the consequences of failure? You ever think about that? What's the consequences of failure? We don't have to fail. We don't have to give in to this roaring lion. We don't have to give in to the doubts and the fears. Some people have a nature of doubting. There's all kinds of natures that men and women have. We don't have to give in to those things. What are the consequences if we fail? What are the consequences if we give up? Personally, I don't even want to go there. The only consequence that I have and desire that I have in my heart is to make heaven my home. By the grace of God, I know the Lord's going to help every one of us that have a desire to do that to make it. There's no respecter of persons with God, so he's going to help us all, isn't he? Keep that desire in your heart. Keep a check and a guard over your life. Let the Lord help you in everything that you deal with in life. Let him be a part of it. Amen.